Well, good morning and welcome to part seven of our seven-part series, Who is God? So honored to have you joining us today. And before we get started, I just want to say this. You know, we're spending a lot of time with our families during all this that we're all going through. And I just want to take a moment and give a special shout out to my family. I'm so thankful for them. They've been so supportive as we've been bringing these messages and these services to you each week. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. And I want to thank my wife for her support, and I appreciate my sons, Theron Jr. and Tanner, as they've been working so hard, investing a lot of hours in bringing these messages to you. So thank you so much, guys. I love you, and I appreciate you. Let me also say to our church family, thank you so very much for your prayers. People are praying right now as these messages are being broadcast, and I just want to thank the church for what you're doing and supporting. And I know people right now in our church are sharing with you and inviting you on Facebook. But not only are they doing that, but we are praying for you that you'll come to know this wonderful God that we know. He is a wonderful God. And our goal, our hope is that you will come to know him and you'll have a vibrant, real, authentic relationship with a living God who comes to offer you life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it to the full. And that's our hope. We want to be a life-giving church. And our hope is that you'll experience the life that's found in following Jesus Christ. And so today I want to jump right into this installment. Part seven is titled this, The Lord is My Banner. And if you missed any of these, you can check these out online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. And those messages that you missed are archived there. You can also look on Facebook, our Facebook page, and you can check out some of the videos there as well as YouTube. We'd love for you to catch any of these that you may have missed. And if you are joining us for the first time, let me take just a moment to tell you the whys of this series. This series is built around the story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where it's recorded that God brought his people Israel out of bondage, 400 years of bondage in Egypt. And he called Moses to be the deliverer. And Moses was sent to Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt, with a message, let my people go. And Pharaoh's response to that request is recorded in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, where Pharaoh said, and who is God that I should listen to him? And so we're basing this series around that question. And who is God? And that's the first question. Who is God? Second question is, who is God that I should listen to him? And third, once we discover who he is and who he is that we should listen to him, then we're discussing what should our response be to that. So this series is not just for information, but it begs for a response from us. And as God revealed to Pharaoh and he revealed to Israel who he is, God also reveals to us through the experiences that Israel went through. They discovered who God was. He revealed himself in the middle of their circumstances. And whatever circumstances you're going through right now, God wants to reveal himself to you so that you may know him. And that is the goal. And to do this, we're looking at the seven names of God that are recorded in the 23rd Psalm that David so beautifully illustrates the God that we serve. And so I want us to look again at the 23rd Psalm, and I invite you to read with us together from your homes aloud, if you would, the 23rd Psalm. I love doing this each week. Verse number one, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's take one quick minute to recap. Week number one, the Lord is my shepherd. And the first redemptive name is revealed. He is Jehovah Rahi, the one who watches over me and guides me into all truth. And we discover he is the Lord my shepherd. And our response is that we are to know the shepherd. Week number two, I shall not want. NIV, I lack nothing. And the second reveal of the redemptive name of God is Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. And we discover he is the Lord, my provider. And our response to that is that we are to put our trust in the Lord who provides. Week number three, verse two, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And it's revealed the third redemptive name of God. He is Jehovah Shalom, the one who calms my storm or my soul. And we discover the Lord is my peace. And our response is that we can rest in the Lord. And I love saying this, and this is so important, that we experience the peace of God when we make peace with God. And then week number four, he restores my soul. The reveal of the fourth redemptive name, he is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. And we discover he is the Lord, my healer. Our response to that is that we put our trust or our faith in the Lord who heals. Put my faith in the Lord who heals. Week number five, verse three, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it's revealed the fifth redemptive name, and that is he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the one who makes me whole. We discover he is the Lord, my righteousness. And our response is to follow the Lord who leads my life. And last week in part six, we looked at verse four that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And the reveal of the sixth redemptive name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present, the one who is always with me. And our response is to have faith in the Lord who is with me. Well, today we're looking at part seven, and we're going to pick it up right there in Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5. And David said this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And today's reveal of the redemptive name of God, the seventh reveal is this. He is Jehovah Nissi. And we discover that he is the Lord, my banner, the one who covers me and redeems my life. I want to take, as I'm doing each week, to the first mention of this, of each of these names. I want to take you to the first mention of Jehovah Nissi, and it's recorded in Exodus chapter 17. I want to give us a little bit of context to this amazing story that's honestly packed full of powerful truths that I don't even have time to unpack all of these powerful truths that are hidden within this story. But we find at the point of this story in Exodus chapter 17, that God had delivered Israel out of the 400 years of bondage of slavery in Egypt, and they were journeying and they were following God. Now, listen, during those 400 years of that bondage, God was actually preparing his people. His plan was always to bring them out, but God knew that they were going to face some battles, and they needed to be prepared for those battles that they were going to face. Could it possibly be, as we're kind of quarantined as we are, that maybe God is preparing us and getting ready to perhaps rebirth us in a new way to be able to take on some new challenges and some new opportunities that God's going to afford us in the days to come? Possibly so. But listen to this. During those 400 years, God was growing Israel. In fact, the Bible records that the women were having a lot more babies. The Israelites were having a lot more babies than the Egyptian women were. They were growing in number. They were being strengthened so that they could be strong enough to face the battles that were ahead of them. Exodus chapter 17 records an occasion where Israel is now having been set free by the hand of God from Egypt. They actually came under attack. So what God had been preparing them for, in verse 17, records that very thing, that they were going to encounter some battles. And so, again, chapter 17 records a battle that they faced. And I want to pick it up in verse 8. Exodus chapter 17, I want to read verses 8 and 9. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites in Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. And he says, tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. with the staff of God in my hands. Now, in the King James Version, that actually, that word staff of God, it says rod of God. Now, notice in the 23rd Psalm, David referred to your rod and your staff. They comfort me. So one is just to file that. But look at this. So the battle ensued. Joshua fought there in battle. But while the battle was going on below, Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of a hill where they could be seen. And Moses lifted up the rod of God. He lifted up that staff, which was a shepherd's staff. And when, and here's what was amazing thing happened. When he raised up his hands and raised up the rod, the Israelites would win. But when he would drop his hands and drop the rod, Israel would begin to lose. And so it's recorded that Moses' hands grew tired, and they placed a stone under him for him to sit on. And Aaron stood on one side of him, and Hur stood on the other side of him. And they lifted his hands and held his hands up. And Moses, it's recorded, Moses' hands remained steady until sunset, and Joshua overcame. He overcame by using the sword, but Moses really brought the victory through raising the rod of God toward heaven, and victory came because the rod was lifted towards heaven. And God spoke to Moses in all this, and he said, write this down and record this, and also repeat this to Joshua so he'll understand. And what Joshua needed to understand, you can't just fight your battles in human strength. It's going to take the hand of God. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take us reaching up to God. We need to do what we can do, but what we can do is not enough. What we're doing each week with these broadcasts is not enough. That's why we've got the church praying, and that's really what this symbolized. Moses was lifting up his hand towards God, acknowledging that God was the source of their strength and their help. So I want us to see this. There's some things for us to do, but without God, we're defeated despite our best effort. And it underscores why prayer is so extremely important. And so I want to jump on down to verses 15 and 16 of that chapter. And it says that Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner," or Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because hands were lifted up against, and one version says to, the throne of God, of the Lord, and the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Now, I want to give us six things for us to see in this message. There's much more than six, but I'm going to give you six today, okay? So if you got a pen, paper, write these down. Be sure and take notes on your phone or whatever your device is there. Be sure and take notes here. Number one, in life, we will have battles. Write it again. Come on. In life, we will have battles. And a lot of us know we're in a battle right now. This pandemic that we're in, it's been described as a war against an invisible enemy. And so the war involves all kinds of things. We're in a battle regarding our health. We're in a battle regarding our finances. Our families, oftentimes, it's a battle. Our marriages can be a battle. We can have an emotional battle, and there's physical battles that we encounter in life. It's been described oftentimes, one of the greatest battles is the battle of the mind, and that we have spiritual battles that we encounter. In fact, I want to give you kind of three areas that we can have battles in if you want to just break this down. Number one, we're in a battle regarding the world, the area of the world. We're in a battle. We're in a fallen world. Ever since sin entered in, we're in an imperfect world. People are imperfect, and the earth itself is imperfect. That's why we've got viruses. That's why we've got sicknesses. That's why things, tragic things happen in our world, because we're in this world, and it's full of its own set of problems. 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says this, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." So these are the things we deal with. "And the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God," there's your hope, "lives forever." So there's problems and battles that we face in the world. There's also battles that we face within ourselves. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." And then it says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. So we have battles within ourselves that we struggle with. And then, of course, and this may spook you out, but there is a devil, and that's another area. It's spiritual. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And instructs us to put on the whole armor of God, the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but actually, listen to this, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So in life, listen, we're going to face our share of battles. So that's point number one. But point number two is this. In God, we will have victory. We will have victory. It's interesting that God used that shepherd's rod. It was what that really started out with. Moses was 40 years in the wilderness, and he was on the backside of the desert tending the sheep when God called him to be a deliverer. And Moses said, "What authority do I have? What sign can I give Pharaoh? And how's he going to listen to me?" And God said, "What's that in your hand?" And he said, "Well, it's just a shepherd's rod." But when he surrendered it to God and he threw it down, it became a snake. And God said, "Pick it back up," and it became a rod again. And he used that as a sign to show God's authority, to show God's power. It demonstrated God's ability, and it also demonstrated God's authority. So that rod was a symbol of that. It was a symbol of leadership. Moses used it to part the Red Sea, and he struck a rock instructed by God, and the rock brought forth water. And here he is raising it up to heaven. And many believe that it represented that point, prayer, that we call out to God, and our God, who is great, gives us the victory. It also became a focal point where the people who were in battle could look to that rod being raised, and it became, listen to this, it became a banner that they could look to. It became a place of hope that they could look to. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The presence and the banner under which they were enlisted and the banner by which they were kept together, that's what that became. You know, when in battle, oftentimes you'll see two armies, and one will hoist a flag on one side of the battlefield and another on their side of the battlefield, representing who they are. And it represents something. The American flag, it represents something. We say a pledge of allegiance to the flag because it represents something. And here this banner was representing the God of all power, who is able to give them the victory. And Moses recognized that the Lord, listen to this, it was the Lord that was their banner, and under which they could defeat the Amalekites. And so he builds an altar named Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And Moses acknowledged that it is the Lord who gets credit for the victory. Amen. Come on, everybody. It's the Lord who gets credit for the victory. We can do everything we can do, but it's not enough. But that, here's the truth. He's more than enough. So Moses raised that rod. He lifted that rod, proclaiming, in essence, of God's leadership and proclaiming God's protection and his provision for his people. And then look at what David said about it in the 23rd Psalm. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, when you break that down, a rod is often described as something that's defensive. It defends. And so as a shepherd would defend his sheep against wolves and attacks, and so God defends us against the attacks of the world and of the devil. And then there's also, it's used for discipline. And that's where he deals with that thing that we battle on the inside. Sometimes he disciplines us and he teaches us and he trains us. But it's wonderful, and it's not delightful when you're going through discipline, but the result of that, the fruit of that, is wonderful, because it's going to bring forth peaceful fruit when God instructs us. And that rod does that for us. It defends us and it also disciplines us. But then there's the staff. The staff is described as a support. It's something that we can lean on. Think about it. Like, it's something we can rest on and lean on. It brings us comfort. It also has an element to it where it can rescue us. There's that crook, that hook, you know, that crook curvature of the staff, of that staff that would reach out and be able to grab hold of sheep that were endangered and pull them back to safety. And let me tell you, God does that to us so many times. I'm convinced he does it to us so many times that we're not even aware of how many times that he uses his grace and his mercy to rescue us and bring us back to safety. Now here Moses was using this rod, and it became a result of it. It was great victory. And then we also see that it represents prayer as we look to God and how important that is. But it also gave hope to people in battle. But the banner is described also as a canopy. A canopy. Some translations say call it the banner, and some translations call it a canopy, as a covering. It's something over us. So I want us to see that today. I want us to see that we have victory because we have the covering of God's protection over our life. Write down number three. Let me move through this quickly. Number three, in battle, you are not alone. In battle, you are not alone. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 12 says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so his hands remained steady till sunset. And how beautiful that is. Can I just tell you, as you're going through what we're going through today in our world, you cannot do this alone. And can I assure you, you are not alone. But we need relationships, and we need to be able to reach out to one another. But can I tell you that you are never, ever alone. Joshua 1 and 5, God was encouraging Joshua as he was passing really the rod over to him as leading the nation of Israel. And in chapter 1 of verse 5 of Joshua, he says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And he adds this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And can I tell you, Jesus says those same words to us as well, that he will never leave us, that he'll be with us always. In Matthew 28 and 20, for he was ascended to heaven, he said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. But God has given us a rod and a staff, correction and instruction, comfort and strength to be with us. That means that he gives us his word to instruct us, to guide us, to correct us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to be with us, to live in us, to bring us comfort. He's described as a comfort. And he gives us relationships where we can, first of all, have a great relationship with God, but also have a healthy relationship with people that strengthens our life. That's God's order and his design for us and his assurance that he is with us. Let me give you number four. Number four, in battles, God gives us opportunities. And I love this phrase. You've probably heard this before. Man's extremities are God's opportunities. Isn't that true? What seems to be above your head is already beneath his feet. That's an old phrase, but I'm telling you, it still works today. Because the psalmist David went on to say this in Psalm 23 and verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So you're in battle. In the middle of a battle, God's going to give you an opportunity. So, and Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 4 says, let him lead me to the banquet hall and let his banner over me be love. Isn't that beautiful? His banner over us, his covering over us is love. It's love. So when we're talking about being in battle, we're not just talking about going out like Joshua did with a sword and taking it out on people. No. Listen to this. We're to love people. In fact, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So God loves us. His banner of us is love. Our message is love. And we're here to deliver that message. And that's what's going to bring victory in your life and in my life and in other people's lives, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What am I talking about? When you're in battle, it's an opportunity for your light to shine, because it's in that place that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, right? Number five, let me give you point number five. Number five, in battle, write this down. We are blessed by God. In battle, we are blessed by God. Psalm 23 and verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil. There's, you are with me. You are anointing me. You are blessing my life. In the midst of this, I can be blessed. And I'll be blessed so much it's going to overflow into other people's lives, right? My cup runs over. I'm going to be blessed, and I'm going to be a blessing in the middle of all of this. I'm going to be blessed. Romans chapter 8:28, you know this verse, and we know that in all things, that's even in the battles, even in our circumstances, even in what we're going through, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, to his purpose. Now, let me give you number six. In God, we discover life. In God, we discover life. David goes on to say in the 23rd Psalm in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's going to chase us down as we follow the Lord, as we follow the shepherd, as we trust him, as we lean our put our life in his hands. He's going to direct our paths, and goodness and mercy are going to follow us. I got to tell you this story. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go minister at a church, Topsail, North Carolina, and it sits right near Wilmington. I had an opportunity to go tour the battleship at Wilmington, and I did some studying because I was going to bring a message to the church, and I was doing a little bit of research, and I discovered what a flagship is. A flagship is any ship. It can just be a regular ship in the military, but when the admiral is present on the ship, they raise the admiral's flag on that ship, signifying that the admiral is on board, that he is at the helm. And that ship is then called the flagship. It's the admiral's flag that's raised, and it becomes the flagship. Can I just tell you something? When Jesus resides within you, we can raise up flags. Maybe it's not a shepherd's rod, but perhaps our hand. You know, they say, why do they raise their hands in church? Well, maybe it's because we just want to testify. We want to raise our flag. We want to raise a banner and say, the admiral, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he resides within us, and we are his flagship. But look at this. Here's how all this happens. It was Jesus Christ that was raised on a cross. And when we look to him in faith and we accept what he did for us and we invite him to come live inside of us, that's when we become his flagship. That's when we experience victory. We're testifying that Jesus is in this vessel. God is on his throne. And the throne of God is yes, it's in heaven, but God wants to sit on the throne that is within our heart. So how do we lift our hands and let the world know? We not only do it by lifting our hands, but we also live our life. We let our light shine. We let the world know and how we live our life. And they see that God, they can know that God lives within us, and we witness who he is, and we share his love with the world. So let's recap. The reveal is the seventh redemptive name of God. He is Jehovah Nissi. And we discover he is the Lord, my banner, the one who covers me and redeems my life. And the response is that we can surrender to the one who rescues me and offers me life. Can I repeat that again? Because that's what is so important right now. Our response should be this: surrender to the one who rescues me and covers me and offers me life. His banner is also again described as a canopy, and how beautiful it is that it becomes a covering. And what Jesus did on the cross for us is that he covered our sins. And not only did he cover our sins, he removed our sins from us to never be remembered as against us anymore. That's what God offers to us. So today, you have an opportunity to invite him to sit on the throne of your heart. The question is, does God reside there? And I just got to tell you, how does that happen? How does he come to reside in your heart? And I want to give you a word that's so powerful today, and I hope that you'll receive this word into your spirit. The word is surrender. Surrender. When you surrender your heart to God, when you surrender to him and you acknowledge your life and all of his resources is not enough, that you need his help, and you lift up your help, your heart to him, you lift up your faith to him, I want to tell you, He'll bring you to a place of great victory. He'll bring you to a place of great peace, and you'll experience the life that He offers. Would you like to receive that life today? Would you like to make Him the King of your life and sit on the throne of your heart? I want to lead you in a prayer and give you that opportunity to do that today. And right where you are, would you simply pray this prayer with me? Come on, just pray this prayer. Just say this from your heart. Let me just help you with the word. Just say this. Today, Lord, I give you my life. I open my heart and I ask you to come in. Forgive me for going my way. Today, I choose to follow you. So with all of my heart, I receive you. Thank you for dying for me so that I may live for you. And with all my heart, I accept you, and by your help, I'll follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.